sigh no more. Ladies, sigh no more. Men were deceivers, ever one foot in the sea and one on shore. To one thing constant, never inside, not so, but let them go and be blithe and bonny, converting all your sounds of woe into a hey.
Jason, I think you know how I feel about people ripping off the art of the great Elizabethan poet William Shakespeare. I heartily approve, and so welcome to the club.
Thanks.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 396, Singing Shakespeare's Fool.
Oh, mistress man, where are you roaming? Staying here, your true love's coming. That can sing both high and low.
Jason Fetty is the singer, songwriter, composer, and performer of Shakespeare's Fool, a collection of songs drawn from Shakespeare's plays. I think these songs are amazing, so I asked Jason to tell me how he set about setting Shakespeare's words, which aren't too bad either, to music.
Drink your cup divine, mistress mine.
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is I did a gig. I was playing my own material at a gig, a little house party concert on the hill here in Laguna Beach where I live. And the lady whose party it was called me the day before and she said, "Oh, I've got a master of ceremonies who's going to introduce you." And my heart dropped. I'm like, oh, no, not some big mouth nutter from town. Anyway, this guy was great. He did he read some poetry, which kind of fell a bit flat, but then he did some speeches from the plays of William Shakespeare, and honestly, you could hear a pin drop. People were really... I was amazed, honestly, because this was like the sort of high heel and, you know, fur coat, no knickers brigade of Laguna, and they loved it. Oh. So I thought, I've got to get in on this act. And the following day, I just had the idea. Because I remember doing a bit of Shakespeare in school, and I remember there were a couple of songs. I mean, we did Twelfth Night, was the play that I was really familiar with, and I remember there's a song at the end of Twelfth Night that's really very moving. So it ties the whole thing together. The clown, Fetty the clown, sings this song about, you know, hey nonny nonny, off we go, the rain it raineth every day. And so that was the first one that I just put to music, just got a guitar out and did my thing with it.
That I was on a tiny little boy with a hey ho, the wind and the rain, a foolish thing was but a toy. The rain it raineth every day.
It's such a lovely thing to listen to because musically it evokes the 70s, but not the 1570s. The 1970s, it makes you sound like the greatest singer songwriter troubadour balladeer of the era that we never heard of, with these fantastic lyrics, but just beautiful, beautiful melodies.
Well, he's a pretty good collaborator. You know what I mean? The lyrics couldn't be better, really. It's, you know, Shakespeare after all. But yeah, thanks for that. But you might not, because you're old like me. You may not be aware, but actually, acoustic guitar music is pretty popular now. It's very cutting edge, Austin.
Well, and you have the most bizarre Southern California accent I've ever heard.
South Laguna.
South Laguna. Actually. South Laguna. Surely you grew up with Shakespeare as mother's milk, being a Brit, yeah?
Well, not really. We hated it because it's hard.
Yeah.
It's difficult language. And so I was not in the top class at school. I was more interested in playing my guitar. So I didn't. And I really had to learn a bit to do this project. Although I didn't have to learn very much because the lyrics scan pretty well. I was careful to pick songs which scanned in a way that made sense to sort of a modern ear. And when you slow down the words to sing them, they become a little more easy to understand.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like in many of the songs that you are a slave to either the original meter or the song's function in the play. It seemed sort of liberating for you. Did you change many of the lyrics, or did you repeat phrases that fit musically? How did you approach each song?
Well, actually, I was a bit careful about that because, you know, Shakespeare's almost sort of biblical in those Shakespearean circles. You've got to be very careful about changing things. And I knew this, and I figured, well, you know, I don't want to mess with it too much. And I was careful to pick songs, as I say, that scanned. There are songs that don't scan, that are just like three lines long, and you go, how am I going to turn this into a pop song?
Right.
So, but I did change a few. I used a little, what they call it, Shakespearean conceit in a couple of the songs. And, for example, I wrote a chorus for one of the songs, Oh Mistress Mine from Twelfth Night. I wrote my own chorus for that. And then also there's a song called Blessings on You, which is from The Tempest, and I stole a bridge from As You Like It. So I've not been, you know, completely kind to Shakespeare, I guess.
I believe that would be called artistic license, creative reuse.
There you go.
Creative reuse.
There you go.
That Blessings, I mean, so much of it, so much of the song is very hum-a-mummable, as you know, as Stephen Sondheim would say. But that Blessings on You song, it closes the CD, and it is just so evocative. And, you know, I'll listen to the CD, and then for days, I'll be singing Blessings on You because it's the last thing I heard until I start listening to it from the top again.
The words of that song, just, it was so easy to write. When I first started doing this, it seemed like a big thing to do, but once you get into those lyrics, man, and when he talks about love, he means it. When he talks about death, he's serious about, you know, and that's about the only two topics really that he talks about. So there you go.
Spring come to you at the farthest, in the very end of harvest. Scarcity and want shall shun you. Circe's blessing, so is on you. Blessings 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 on you.
I'm Michael Whitmore, director of the Folger Shakespeare Library in Washington, D.C., and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Starting in just about 3 weeks, you can see us performing the European premiere of The Complete History of Comedy Abridged at the Pleasance Theater at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival until August 25th. Now, we are already one of the top-selling shows on the Fringe, so if you're planning on going, go to pleasance.co.uk and start booking your tickets now. Also, in honor of the Pleasance 30th birthday, we'll also be doing 9 performances only of the show that started it all, The Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised, from August 17th to the 25th, also at the Pleasance. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information.
Was the goal or was the hope that these would become pop hits?
Well, no, I did them as demos originally, and I was doing another album of my own material at the time, and then I called the guy that I was telling you about, the MC, and I said, you know, we could do something together with this. He turns out that he's a professor of English Lit, and he teaches the gifted kids at UCI during the summer, and he teaches them Shakespeare. So what we did was we put together like this little show where I do a song, he does a speech, song speech. There are 10 songs on the record, and he does 10 speeches. And, it, you know, now you've got like an hour and 15 minutes show. I've been doing quite a bit, you know, at schools and little theatres around the place, and it's been working out very well. So it's not just a CD, it's a whole show. I had never thought for one second that these would be pop hits, and I was right.
Who is Sylvia? What is she? Thought all our swains command her holy fair and wise is she, thought heaven such grace did lend her that she might.
What were some of your influences growing up and when you were starting out as a musician?
Well, you know, the young kid, I loved the Beatles and I loved Elvis Presley, and it was the wrong time to like that kind of music, really. I grew up in the 70s and early 80s, really, in Britain. But I played an acoustic guitar because that was a simple instrument to learn and to buy. It was cheap compared to, you know, an organ or a cello. And I was listening also, apart from those kind of the Beatles, the obvious stuff, I was listening to a lot of English folk music from the early 70s, artists like Nick Drake and John Martin, and these were really my big heroes as a kid.
Yeah, it's funny. Am I wrong that I hear Steely Dan in there a couple of...
You couldn't be more wrong.
Couldn't be more wrong. Good, good, good. I'll cut that part out then too, so it does not sound like a complete moron.
No, I love Steely. I do love Steely Dan, but I don't think I was listening to him back then. That may have come later as my sort of knowledge of musical theory increased. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As I got older.
Yeah. Well, and you're now, in addition to being a performing artist, you're a disc jockey. Do they still call them disc jockeys?
We call ourselves jocks, man. Hey,
jocks. Sorry. A radio personality there in Southern California, which is how we met. How has this music come around again? Because I remember we were joking about, you know, you pick up a guitar and throw on some Suspenders and you're one of the lost Mumford Sons.
Well, you know what? You're right. And it's irritating to a guy of my age. I'm 48. So there's no chance of me becoming a pop star, you know, because it's all about image, really.
Right.
And, I was ahead of my time. I thought I was behind my time because I was in the 1980s, playing an acoustic guitar wasn't the thing to do. But it turns out I was actually ahead of my time because it's all back now. It's great. There is some fantastic music around now. People of my age that say, you know, it's not as good as it used to be. That is really not true. It's really not true. There's some fantastic music, and we play it on our radio station.
Yeah, you do. And maybe there's a way you could throw on some Suspenders and audition to be the Mumford grandfather. Mumford and Grandpa.
Nobody wants to see that.
What? Now, where can people buy Shakespeare's Fool?
Well, it's on iTunes, you know, the usual places. CD Baby, I have a bunch of hard copies, so you can actually buy the CD itself as opposed to a download. And also, you know, you can just go to my website, jasonfeddy.com, click on Shakespeare, send me an email, I'll bung you a copy.
Oh, it's just fantastic, and I would just so love to hear you do them live. Would you do that? Would you do it live? Would you add a larger band?
Yeah, we do that. When a venue can afford to pay it, I bring along an upright bass player and a percussion player, sometimes a mandolin or another guitar. It's really, really fun. And that's it. We also do the speeches too. And in between the speeches and the songs, there's a lot of banter between the actor or actors, because my wife's in the show too.
Ah.
She's a Shakespearean actor, trained Shakespearean actress. So there's some banter and some explanation, and we try and... I dumb down my already scant knowledge of Shakespeare in order to sort of play a character that asks the questions that perhaps people are said to ask. Because if you know, Shakespeare is one of those sacrosanct things where you're supposed to know, and if you don't know, you're an idiot. Well, it's just not true. Shakespeare is difficult, and it can be boring if you don't know what is going on.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Comedy Podcast. You've heard excerpts from Jason Fetty's fantastic CD, Shakespeare's Fool. But to hear the whole wonderful thing, head over to his website, jasonfetty.com, click on Shakespeare and buy it there. You can also find links there to buy it from iTunes or CD Baby. Then send us your foolish songs via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans on our website at a Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, former Shakespearean fool Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band, and of course this week by Jason Fetty. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Layla Ellis. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Michael Whitmore, the director of the Folger Shakespeare Library in Washington, D.C., and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 396/1188 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Your new limbs in judgment told your answer had not been inscrolled. Fare you well, your suit is cold. Fare you well.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.